Hi, welcome to one of our Expert Insight discussions. This is part one of two episodes looking at the importance of controlling your hotel pricing and, more importantly, the impacts of not controlling it. In both episodes, we're joined by Pablo Sanchez from Mirai, one of our expert partners. In this episode, Pablo outlines concisely how losing control of your pricing could mean hoteliers missing out on a potential 34% increase in bookings. He explains how different pricing scenarios feed through to increased visibility, CTR and conversions. And by using booking simulation, Pablo illustrates how this 34% potential increase in bookings could be achieved. All of these scenarios and simulations are supported by data from their recent survey of 1,500 hotel prices formed from 10 million traveler set date queries. In part two, we'll look at the broader medium to long-term implications of not controlling your hotel price. But for now, I hope you enjoy this discussion. Let's get started. Hey, Pablo, how are you? Thanks for joining us today. How are things with you? Are you well?
Yeah, pretty well. Thank you.
Excellent.
Nice to be here, Trevor.
Good to have you with us. Looking very nice and sunny where you are at the moment.
It is indeed. Mallorca is a nice place. Yep.
very fortunate. I'm very envious. So for our conversation today, we're going to be discussing a topic that you wrote about earlier in the year, following on from a survey that you guys had conducted. And broadly speaking, and I'll let you explain it a lot better than I did, but it's looking at how well, or maybe not, as the case may be, hotels are controlling their pricing when comparing their own website to OTAs and distributors. But before we dig into the topic, maybe I could just ask you to introduce yourself first. That would be great.
Cool. So my name is Pablo Sanchez. I've had a previous life in aviation for 10 years. Then I switched to hotels, where I worked with Barcelo, Iberostar, and finally with Mirai, which is always doing the same thing, is focused on direct sales and distribution for hotels.
Perfect, brilliant. So you're in the you're the right person to have on here talking about this, and obviously why you wrote about it. So looking at our topic and the starting point of being obviously a question that, you know, you don't go out and do a survey unless there's a question you're looking to answer. So what was the question you were looking to answer? Why did you guys do the survey? What did you think the issue is that you were hoping the survey would either support or counter?
Well, we saw many hotels not really being aware of their price competitiveness. And also, they were not aware of their cost or what was the revenues they were losing because not being competitive. So I wanted to demonstrate that that was a real problem and a factor which was in many hotels. So since we had a lot of hotels in our platform, I thought that I could make a good analysis based on you know, not big data, but the right amount of hotels and observations to make good conclusions on an industry level.
And so what, just give us a bit of background behind the survey. How many were there? What were you, how did you go about it?
Cool, yeah. Well, I will share an image where you can see that, yep. First of all, we decided to use Google Hotel Ads, the data as a proxy of online distribution because they were, you know, just in connection with all the OTAs and all the online distributors and also the hotels. So we thought it was a good base for our study. So we did an analysis based on 1,500 hotels which were working with us.
That's a reasonable sample size.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. At least for the markets where we are playing, which is mainly Spain, France, and Portugal, but mainly Spain, mm-hmm. we thought it was enough. Of course, you know, you have to be aware that Google Hotel Ads is having not only the price of the direct sales of the hotels, but also any distributor that are distributing the product online. So OTAs and so on, they're all reflected there.
Okay.
So we took, in order to see, as you can see in the image, we actually worked with the data that it was available in Google Hotel Ads, which was, for example, the variable of price bucket.
Okay.
That means that they were categorizing all the data in four groups, grouping in four groups, which were depending on how competitive was the hotel direct sales price versus the distribution, the distributors, the OTAs and so on.
Yeah.
And actually there's four groups there. So the first one is not lowest, which is basically a way to say that you're not competitive. So you're having a worse price, a higher price than other distributors.
Okay.
And it's important to note here that hotel ads are having a 2% plus minus 2% margin, just to the roundup effects and the currency conversions and so on, so to mitigate that.
Understood.
They also have another group, which is the tied for lowest, which is just parity, where you're having same price as the rest of the distributors. Then unique lowest, so your price is better than the others. And then the fourth group is only partner shown. So you have closed the rest of your distributors and you're just yourself. You are the unique channel available for your product, okay? Which is not so often, probably in an occasion with higher demand and so on. And then to finish, an important thing here is we only did analysis on all the requests, all the queries that were traveler set dates, which means that the end customer was actually interacting with this module and with this data, because you know the Google ecosystem is very wide.
Yep.
And whenever Google sees that someone, you know, interested in something about travel, they start popping up the hotels and all the travel related functionalities they have. But it maybe doesn't mean that really
that they're
looking for something. But whenever the customer is starting to click on the date and specifying a specific date, then you can say that there's an interest.
So that's what I was going to get at. So the purpose being that at least you knew when you were comparing, you were almost putting yourself in the seat of the traveler and thinking, okay, well, if we're going to put together an article and a survey to say hotels, you're not controlling your prices very well, we probably need to look at it from the point of view of someone that might be booking that hotel, and that there is actually intent behind it. And so you were then looking where actually they had set dates, and therefore, you know, what the traveler would have seen is exactly what was being shown at that point. So you could very clearly say, well, you know, you actually were not the lowest, so you're not the most competitive. So in which case there could be a knock on effect. Yeah,
exactly. And with those four buckets, what we did, just looking from the customer angle, as you say, is to understand where were the KPIs, the performance KPIs in those different four buckets. So we were looking at what was the visibility for the hotel website, what was the CTR for them, what was the conversion, and at the end, how many bookings they were getting in the different scenarios. So we could compare the different, you know, these scenarios associated with the competitiveness of the price to the real performance KPIs, which is what matters for the hotels.
That makes sense. So we're going to touch on that in a moment, because I know you've got some other images that you can show from the survey that that illustrate that. One thing I guess this has been spoken about for so
forever.
I mean, I empathize for you guys, because you know you're out there having these conversations all the time trying to convince hoteliers. I mean, I guess it does pose a couple of questions to me. I guess one question I'll throw back to you is why do hotels, I mean, just not control their prices? I mean, is it just like, oh, what's the point? My hotel's full, it's paying a decent rate. What does it matter? What do you think is some of the psychology behind it that maybe influences them?
Well, first, there's many reasons, but the first of them would be that they don't really know. So they think they have a controlled price because they have certain contracts and they are enforcing their prices, but they are not going to the market, putting themselves in the customer's lenses and looking at that. So they're not aware of it. So if you're not aware, you cannot.
Yeah, good point. We don't know what we don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And then second, for those knowing it, they say, oh, how do I change this? So they try to do it, but it's like a war. It's a battle. It's a daily battle to get this going. You need to do some changes in the distribution, in the clauses of the contracts, and then you have to follow up, and you have to engage into discussions, and sometimes you have to close some channels. It's not an easy battle or an easy war with many battles. So many of them say, oh, that's too much for me. It's okay. I have enough problems operating the hotels. I'm still getting a good profitability for my hotel. So yeah, I'll put it in a drawer and maybe next year I will try it.
I'll get it. And I guess you just said something there. You know, there are a lot of hotels, because whenever we think of hotels, a lot of people often think of, you know, the big brand properties, which obviously have head offices and all kinds of things behind them. A large proportion of hotels, particularly in Mediterranean countries, a lot in the UK and across Europe as well, aren't necessarily branded properties. They might be family owned, independent, small properties. And the daily challenge is also, well, people get into running a hotel because they actually enjoy being hospitable. They want to, you know, they want to welcome their guests. They want to deliver a great guest service. So focusing on this stuff can also maybe seem a little bit time consuming. I mean, if my hotel was 95% full, my rates are up where they used to be, maybe even a little bit higher, I want to focus on my guests being happy and giving me good reviews and coming back. I'm not going to necessarily be thinking about this, even though it's probably important. Would that be fair?
You're totally right. That's the case. At least for the hotels I know better, which are vacational hotels in Spain, they're focused on their operation and having an excellent experience for the customer. So when it comes to commercialization, the first thing is they don't have much experience. And you have to understand this, because when they started their business, maybe in the 80s, then all of a sudden someone from the north of Europe came with a nice contract saying, hey, sign here and we'll fill your hotel. Nice. They signed, and all of a sudden buses started coming to your hotel and filling up with 95 or 100% occupation, and you're still having a lot of margin. So that was great at that point of the time. There was no internet in the 80s, and there were two operators taking some risks, taking planes down to Spain and so on and so on, and transfers and doing everything nicely. Perfect. But they thought that this is still the case, but things have evolved since then. Internet has come, the end customer has matured and is able to not only research and analyze different options in the web, but also to transact and to put their credit card and their money. And that changes the whole equation. But the hotels are still thinking that it's in the 80s.
Yeah.
And they think that all the channels they're signing are tour operators that will bring additional customers. And that's not always the case. So that changes the whole thing.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So as part of the survey, you looked at the actual then impact, and we'll get we'll come back to that question of if I do nothing, what might happen? You know, everything's okay. Why should I bother? We'll dig into that a little bit later on. But out of your survey, you also looked at the impact of if you had the better price. So I guess this is in your four buckets. What bucket would this be representing?
So yeah, so we looked at the different KPIs, performance KPIs for these four buckets. As I said before, visibility, CTR, which means more clicks and more visits to your site, conversions, and at the end of the story, bookings, which is the end result, what you really want, but you need to understand all the steps, right?
Yep.
So when it comes to visibility, for example, the better price you have, the more visibility you get. And that's clear and logical, because think that the meta search channels, for example, in this case, Google, what they want is the air money when they get a click. So they want to put compelling advertising there. Mm-hmm. So if you're having a really bad price, which nobody will never buy, they will not click on your option, so Google will not put you there. But if on the other side of the other coin, if you do have the most competitive price, then Google says, hey, this is the owner of the product and they have the best price, I'll put it in the top, and then you get the clicks and then Google gets the revenues, so everybody is happy
because there's kind of two separate elements to this, if I understand it, and if I you know, this is your expertise, not mine. So if I get this wrong, please do correct me for the purpose of those listening and watching. I guess on one hand, what you will want to get the click through, and Google wants to get the click through, because that's, you know, they then get paid for that click, or you're paying for that click. But at the same point, it's got to become visible for then someone to see it and click through. So you're looking at, firstly, how, I guess when I was looking at your survey, it was looking at how the competitiveness influences the visibility, and then how the competitiveness actually impacted the click through. Was that right? Did I pick that up right?
Those are the steps, exactly. First is to be visible, and that means how we measure that is the KPI is the impression share. So out of 100 times that you could be displayed, how many of them you're finally displayed?
Okay.
And that changed it from, in the scenario where you're not having the best price, so you're not competitive, that was 80. Actually, there's an image, and you can look at the image. There was 82% of the cases you are displayed. So the impression share is 82%. And that goes up to, of course, and that's logical, to 100% when you are the only one shown. But let's go back one step when you are the unique lowest. So you are better than the others. There's still 91%, which is much higher than 82%. So that's a good improvement.
Yeah, very much so. And then and then aligned to the click-through part.
Exactly. And then once you are displayed, then the second step is that once you're displayed and the customer is looking at the different options, they decide to click on your option. And that's measured through the CTR. Mm-hmm. So if we look at the image, we will see also how the CTR, and this is where it really changes a lot, the CTR changes among the different four groups. So if you are having a bad price, you're not competitive, the survey says that you have a CTR of 7.3 in average of the 1,500 hotels, okay? If you're going to a parity scenario where you are tied for lowest, same price with all the competitors, then it goes up to 11.2%, which is already a good improvement.
Yeah.
But if you're having
That's a 50%. That's a 50% improvement, isn't it? Just, yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Yep. Yes, it is. And then if you're going to unique lowest, which is you are the one leading the price competitiveness battle, you are the best price, and then the other ones are following, then it goes up to 13.6%.
That's nearly double if you are the not lowest. Yeah.
Nearly double. Yeah. And if you are the only partner shown, it goes up to 18.6. But that's a different scenario.
Sure.
And someone actually could ask themselves, why don't you get 100% CTR when you are the only one shown? Mm-hmm. But the fact is that the customers are not only willing to continue the process. A lot of them just want to look at the options and see the prices.
Maybe
they are in the upper funnel phase and so on. Or maybe... And we have also made some analysis on this. You actually get it's important that you're not always just alone, because a lot of customers in different nationalities or different markets, they need to also have some reference.
Yeah. Because there can also be skepticism, can't there? It's like, well, why is that lower than everybody else? You know, if it seems too good to be, yeah.
Exactly. You can doubt about that. Because we're not only talking about the big brands. So it's not Hilton's and Marriott's. Maybe it's hotel, no matter what, in a specific destination that no one knows in that market. So, yeah, there could be some skepticism.
And then there's something else I picked up. You had, I saw that you had the visibility, the click through, and then obviously the conversions, booking requests. So can you just talk us through?
Yeah, we made a ratio, which is after the CTR, you have the conversions, but at the end, what it really matters is how many bookings you get per, let's say, 1,000 requests. Where, you know, in the online world, you get people just asking and making requests, and you can actually make that that ratio, which is at the end what hotels are interested in.
Yeah.
How many bookings I get for certain amount of request, and that's what you want to maximize.
Yeah.
And this is what was really changing from, if you're not being, if you're not the lowest, so if you're not competitive, you're not having the lowest price, then it was actually down to 1.7 bookings per 1,000 requests in, let's say, in the meta search arena. Yep. And that comprises requests of all types, you know, people even in the upper funnel just looking and not willing to make a booking. But it's a ratio, okay? But that was increasing to 3.8 or 3.6, actually, in the case that you are having the best price and followed by the others. So it's increasing, it's more than double. So that's what really matters. And that's a result of a higher visibility, a better click-through rate, and more conversions. So
I thought what more bookings. I thought what was interesting, picking up on the last point we were talking about maybe there even being a psychological aversion to just seeing one hotel with the lowest price. You know, you may be skeptical. What's interesting when I look at this sort of table is that the difference between tied for lowest and only partner shown is kind of 0.6, which, you know, it's still an improve. It's still worth considering. But the biggest difference is between the not lowest and then the next, and then the next three. Just, yeah, if you're tied or unique, even if you think I'm not going to be the cheapest at all and take out the only partner shown, then you are practically as good as doubling the number of booking requests. So not only are you getting more, but also you are then being seen as competitive, and that's going to be driving greater potential revenue to you. Yeah, did I understand that correctly?
Correctly. If you look at the table that I can share with you, you can see that actually the biggest jump is, as you say, from the first category, which is that you're not competitive, you're having a worse price, to the tied for lowest bucket, which is the party team scenario. And that's where it really changes, because if you look at the KPI bookings per request, you jump from 1.7 to 3.2. That's the biggest jump. Then, of course, you can improve it from 3.2 to 3.6 if you become the better price. But percentage-wise, it's not as big jump as the previous one.
No.
It's a harder scenario, because when you become the unique lowest, you will have a lot of calls from Expedia, Booking, and so on, saying, hey, what are you doing? You have to at least have the same price as you're giving me. So it's a harder scenario to get.
Yeah.
But the party tea scenario is quite easy to achieve if you're controlling your distribution, and it has a lot of rewards.
And you had an image there that was around the parity simulation. Yeah. So to that point that you're talking about.
Yeah. So if you want to know exactly, or if you want to understand what is the potential affecting to your direct sales behind the different competitive scenarios, we did a simulation where we took, and I can show it to you, where what we did is to move all the requests that were not competitive, so in the not lowest category, to the next one, which is tied for lowest, a parity scenario, which is feasible. It's something that anyone can really do if they focus on it and they work on it. Okay. And what we saw is that the end result of the whole simulation was a 34% increase in bookings. So that's at the fingertips of the hoteliers.
34% increase of bookings.
34%.
I mean, yeah, right.
It's not something you can achieve from one day to the other, but
no.
You can work on it, and in a couple of months or 3 months, you can achieve that. So,
okay. So it, as you say, it does take some effort, but
it does.
A lot of times, sometimes it's understanding that effort will deliver some sort of outcome so even before your simulation, I mean, when I was just looking at the previous image, which was looking at, you know, just when you had the percentages of the increase in visibility, CTR, conversion, booking requests, I mean, just being in parity, which shouldn't, in my mind, seem to be a hard thing to be able to try and achieve. As a hotelier, I would imagine that should be relatively straightforward. I mean, that drove increased booking requests. It's driving increased conversions. I mean, I'm thinking I'm missing something.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Pablo for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. You can contact us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.